tide is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Thank God it's Friday, and
yes.
This is the door that kind of opens to Holy Week. So we're coming right to the end of Lent, in the sense that we begin the observance, the solemn observance of Holy Week on Sunday, a Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, and so we'll talk about that. How are you guys doing? Welcome.
Good.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Everybody's fine. Nick, you're doing okay? Ready for the weekend?
Well, not really. It depends.
No. He's never ready for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It depends because I'm always working.
I know. Life is work.
Life is work.
It's hard to say. It never ends for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about that from this end over here, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it just never ends.
Nothing ever ends.
Don't let up.
But you know
until
what?
The end.
Thank God we got work, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Keeps you busy is what I always say, but
that's
also,
right.
You know, try to have fun.
Yeah, that's right. You got to have some fun.
Keeps you off the street.
Happy. It's funny, I was just thinking about that. You know, we need diversion.
Yes.
We do need diversion. Yeah, we need fiesta. We need celebration. And at the end of Holy Week on Easter, we celebrate, you know, that's a day of feast day, right?
Yes.
The great feast of the year. So we're going, I kind of want to go back to this because it's just, it's so sad. It's just so sad, and I think let's maybe try to look at this in the context of Holy Week. Maybe we've tried to do that, but I was, this morning I was praying. I'm speaking, of course, of the plane crash, and just you know to add fuel to the fire, right? The fact that this was intentional, that a deliberate bringing down. Mm-hmm. That plane and how you see in the pictures of the victims, and you don't even have to see them, but when you see the pictures, and you put a face to the people that have, and it just breaks your heart. It really does, and you ask yourself, you know, you say, why? I just, my God, why hast thou forsaken? You know, people have to be thinking that, don't you think?
Yes.
You know, why did this have to happen? And why do so many things have to happen? This is maybe a question. This morning when I was making my holy hour, and I mean, I'm 30 years a priest, and of course these things come up all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like
yes.
it's. Well, thank God it's not an everyday occurrence, mm-hmm. but there's something mm-hmm. always going on
sure.
every day, you know, where there's atrocities and tragedies, mm-hmm. and there's the stuff that happens in people's own personal lives,
right.
you know. So this is it's a constant, but. When you're confronted with something that is so violent and mm-hmm. so sudden and so, which is beyond what we can comprehend, you know, the worst of one's fear, you know, in a sense, I suppose. But it's like, it begs the question again:
mm-hmm.
why? What is the meaning and the purpose of life? And all right, and so we talk about this. We live this every time we celebrate the. The Eucharist, we're basically facing the reality of this this very blatant contradiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life and death, light and darkness, good and
mm-hmm.
evil, right?
Yes. This is what, mm-hmm. And you know, Father,
yeah.
people make choices, and it brings me back how you often refer to when Jesus was outside the city of Jerusalem. Oh, how I try to put you under my wings.
Right.
We make choices, either we do good or evil, and unfortunately, everyone else has to suffer. What we do is not only for our own
right.
bad, you know, but also for everyone else.
I really think people don't understand that, Christina. That is so right. I mean, I don't think people really understand. It's just when you live for me, 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 then I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But it is so true. I mean, my gosh, you don't think of others. And there are many. Mm-hmm. That's the scary thing today. There's so many people that it's all about me. And I run up against this all the time. And it almost has, it's like a hit in the face sometimes. You have to sit back and say, do you realize that it's not? And how do you start that conversation? You know, it's just.
Because they think they're right.
Right.
They believe that they're right in the way they feel.
Well, what's going to change that, though? What would change that? And is it different today than it has been?
No, it's not.
No, you see, as we say so often, there's nothing new under the sun, and yet I've been reflecting on this because certainly evil, there, some form or another of evil is always present. I mean, we understand that this is why we're not condemned to be here forever. We're not in the homeland. The kingdom has come. The kingdom of God has come, and this is what we will be. This is what we'll celebrate in the Paschal Mystery. Now, when I say the Paschal Mystery, I mean the suffering, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. Really, that's a whole, when we speak about the hour, according to John's Gospel, we're really, that hour constitutes the whole Paschal Mystery, which is the suffering, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. This is a God giving his life over to us, really sweeping us into his own divinity, in order that not only do we understand what is the purpose and the meaning of life and what is the good end of our journey, what's expected of us, but that we have the humility, the grace, which is, if we're humble, then we're receptive to the grace to see the cross, but to and to keep the cross before us, but to see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. So going back to your point, to both of your points, you know, about choice, because it really boils down to choice. You know, what is the choice that I make? And selfishness, by nature, we're, on one hand, we could say, but by nature, we're egocentric. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, by nature, because we're created for God.
Yes.
We're created for God. And so it would seem to me that it's in the nature of man to gravitate toward God, to mm-hmm. seek mm-hmm. God. Now, what's happened, and I think what happens is we become guilty of a wide variety of kinds of idolatries, and it could be the self. But I don't even know that it's a self. But it's a, in some cases, it could be, could very mm-hmm. well be. You know, because we're all by nature egocentric in the mm-hmm. sense that I'm aware of myself,
mm-hmm. sure.
and I'm aware of my needs. Right, mm-hmm. I'm aware of what's going on in my head, what's going on in my heart, my soul, my body. So in that sense, you know, I'm sometimes I'll think about this and, you know, I've never been able to see me the way you see me, right? Mm-hmm. I can only live from within, so I live within this body. So I'm looking,
yes.
I'm experiencing what I experience within, and I'm looking out toward you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm very much aware of the stuff that's going on inside.
Yes.
You know, so when they experience fear, okay, there are manifestations of that fear. But as in the case of this gentleman mm-hmm. who tore that plunged the plane into the mountain, I was reading a couple of articles on that where his sickness was obviously hidden, whatever sickness. Mm-hmm. But again, is the sickness the culprit, or is he the culprit? He made a choice. Depression is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is clinical depression, the sickness of depression, so I don't want to, you know, in any way downplay it.
It doesn't justify the
right.
action.
But mm-hmm. a choice is made. We'll just kind of stay with this, maybe a little bit, if mm-hmm. you don't mind.
But, you know, Father, we've all been through life situations where we're brought down I've been through depression, not clinical, but, you know, just personal life situations. And what's helped me is staying close to God, even though you're in the dark of night, how St. Sure. Augustine writes, and many of the saints wrote about this. But the only consolation that is there is God. You yeah. can't do it without him. And this is where the world is right now. That's why there's so much pain and suffering because of other people's choices. But
yeah,
and you know, there's a saying in Spanish where it says, faces we see, hearts we don't know. We don't know what's going
right.
on.
That's right.
Even ourselves. We don't know ourselves no. that well either. Only God does.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't think that the, I mean, if we're not, that I was reflecting on this morning, if we're not centered in God, mm-hmm. and see, as a society, we're not centered in God anymore.
That's
I think that's what I was thinking of this morning mm-hmm. is have, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but something has changed in a rather dramatic mm-hmm. way. From the time I was, certainly from my experience of life, from the time I was a child growing mm-hmm. up already, you know, that was in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. So I was born in 55. So I basically, you can say my childhood was lived during the 1960s, and in my teenage years, during the 1970s. But it was a very different
time,
at least where I grew up. Yeah. Where I grew up, I mean, I know that there's always been. You hear people talk in the neighborhood about the alcoholism yeah, yeah. and the drug abuse and the violence and all that. I mean, there's, you know, but at the same time, that I have to say quite honestly, that in my own experience as I was growing up, you know, with my own family, and I mean, we had rough edges. I mean, don't get me wrong, but but I don't recall that that among our peers and the people. Now we were. Military people, so we mm-hmm. lived with. We were always in the neighborhood with other Air Force mm-hmm. people. So it was always a mixed community. So we had, you know, whites. We had African Americans. We had Asians. We had Latinos. You know, because the military is made up of all kinds.
Yes.
And we got on with life, and we didn't. I don't recall that there were instances of. Well, I shouldn't say racism. There was no, because certainly we at one point we moved to Florida, and mm-hmm. that's when we were going to an off-base school. Mm-hmm. Whereas before we had been on a military school on the military base, where you had all these people. When I was in Florida, we moved to Florida, and we were in the public schools in the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. right off the base, away from the military base. But a lot of these families were military families, nonetheless. But at that time in the South, there was the segregation, and they were integrating the school. So the African Americans, I'm slipping over into something else, but I guess I'm trying to make a point. Mm-hmm. They went to African Americans went to their own school. We went to the white school, mm-hmm. and they were integrating. So I saw the violence that there was some violence in that as there was this integration was happening. But then it, you know, within a year, it just kind of.
It
worked itself out, and you know but the one thing I have to say is, you know, people at that time had a greater sensitivity to God,
yes. mm-hmm.
to family,
mm-hmm.
To marriage, certainly to marriage and family. There was a way that you were expected to behave, a way that you were expected to speak. A way that things you were to do and things you were not to do, and if there's things you. I mean, something as simple as maybe I've shared this before. I say this almost all the time on the radio, maybe because I don't know. As we've been 5 years on the radio, so but I share a lot of my own, because I can only go by a sure. lot of my own mm-hmm. experiences, yeah. we all do.
Sure.
But I remember being in Dover Air Force Base mm-hmm. in Delaware, and, you know, we got into some trouble. I was a teenager. I was early teen. I was in seventh, eighth grade. And we got into a little, you know, the trouble. You know, at the time, it was considered a big trouble because we were out beyond the curfew. We were sleeping out in these tents. My friends and other people in other block areas were sleeping out. So we would have these kind of these skirmishes, you know, mm-hmm. the uproot or upstake a tent or whatever, and then that kind of stuff. And it was pretty minor when you consider what's happening today, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that was a major thing because my father could have lost rank, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the military police were always, you know, driving through the streets, and so they were watching. And if you were out after curfew, then your parents were punished. Your father was punished. That most of the fathers were the – it wasn't so much a women in the military
right.
at that time. It was the women were in the military, but it was the men. And, you know, they could get busted, lose a rank. And so it was a major thing. And anyway, but the point, and yet, of course, there was, you know, this rebelliousness and, you know, around Halloween that this throwing tomatoes and the toilet
eggs,
paper and the
right.
trees and the eggs and all that kind of stuff. But again, that seemed like kind of minor.
Child's
I don't know, it seemed kind of minor compared to what I'm dealing with today, what I'm dealing with people and our children. I mean, we didn't have, I don't recall that we had the people cutting themselves. As we have today, you know, young teenagers cutting themselves, mostly the girls, are cutting that. This seems to be an epidemic. I'm dealing with this all the time. It's shocking to me, to be honest, you know, how you take a razor blade or whatever it is and you cut yourself. But what does that say? What does it say?
Even like Rose used to say, the former secretary, how she would say in the movie, what you see out there, what's on the television, they show that kind of stuff. And she would say... Well, you know, they have those goofy movies. I'm just those goofy movies or those goofy programs, and you got these people getting these goofy ideas.
Goofy ideas, yeah.
Yeah. What's what the society?
Yeah. Well, at some point, things just kind of broke down.
Yeah.
Things have. I'm saying this, and again, I don't know how this relates to, but what would bring somebody to do such a thing? You know. And then at the same time, I'm reading. I've been reading a couple of books, and they just happen to be, you know, written about novels during the war, the Second World War. And so I'm thinking of what provoked the mindset of a people, let's say in Germany, under Adolf Hitler and the Nazi, you know, the whole Nazi regime and all that. What provoked an entire nation? Not that everybody was complicit, but enough people were.
Yeah.
But well, you just see the films, the clippings of those days when you had the people, you know, all, you know, the army, the people, and everybody. I mean, Hitler had become a seemingly bit of a god.
Yeah.
But what evil enveloped that people, and that such atrocities happened, or Rwanda, you know, I was there a couple of times after the genocide in this very Catholic country, very small, one of the most Catholic countries of Africa, but you had these tribal rivalries there, the Tutsis and the Hutus and the Tutsis. But so they, you know, within a matter of what, 3-4 months, nearly a million people had been macheted to death, you know.
That's how the evil takes over when people allow it.
So these are, and these were supposedly, you know, this is a Catholic country.
Yeah.
So it's...
And then our Blessed Mother told them, she told them, if you don't change your way, if you don't come back, and that's the thing, we have to return to God, otherwise.
Well, that was the message, wasn't it? Because it was very interesting there, the apparitions, and these are Vatican-approved apparitions, prior to the genocide.
Mm-hmm.
The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to students. I met one of them, actually, because some of them were died in the genocide, but the one Natalia, I think her name was Natalia, in Cabejo, and I had a chance to speak with her, and she the Blessed Virgin Mary told the children these, and she went to the children in the school. You know, this was a Catholic school, and she appeared for some time over a period of time. For a short period of time, but long visitations, you know, and the miracles, and the people were flocking from all over. But she said, the Blessed Virgin Mary said that First of all, she said, it's not, don't think I'm coming just to Cabejo or to Butare or to Rwanda. But if I've come to Rwanda, it's that I've come to the whole of Africa. And if I've come to Africa, it's that I'm coming with a message for the whole world. That's basically what she said. And she said, unless you return to God, there will not be peace. And she said, and she told the children, she said, and this was through them to the people, that they should unite their sufferings to those of Jesus on the cross, and that they should prepare for their death, prepare for their death. And she said the rivers of Africa would flow with the blood of the dead. Now, this was in the 1980s, the late 1980s. And I remember being at I was having a mass, a home mass, actually, with a group of people that I had worked with at St. Hyacinth's. And we had been on pilgrimage and all that. And so we would meet from time to time. This is years ago. And we'd gather. They'd have a potluck, and there would be a mass. And we would have a sharing. We would talk about the, you know, whether it's a seasonal thing, whether it was Advent, whether it was Lent or whatever. And Mary Stahovich, God rest her soul, who was brutally murdered, gosh, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago now? I don't know how it's been. I'm losing track of time. But she had mentioned as we were talking, she said, you know, she was reading a book, and in the book it was about the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin through the 20th century. And she was saying that the Blessed Virgin appeared in Rwanda, in Africa, and said in the apparition, she said the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead. Now, she brought it up because on that day, this was in 1994 that we were meeting, but on that day, the Blessed Virgin had appeared in the 1980s, late 1980s, I believe it was in the late 1980s. But that day, this is why she brought it up, because I believe it was the headline on the Chicago Tribune said 40,000, I think about that, 40,000 bodies pulled from the rivers of Rwanda. Now, when she said that, I thought, gosh, I remember seeing this video on the apparitions of the 20th century. Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't mention the video. I had seen it.
You've seen
it. So when she was talking about Rwanda and the Blessed Virgin having said that the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead, and also one of the messages was the world should prepare for the coming of her son. That's what she said. The world should prepare for the coming of her son. So when she told me about that, about this this headline that 40,000 bodies were pulled from the rivers of Rwanda, and that I remembered, I said, I remember there was some place in Africa that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I came home, I found the video. It was called 20th Century Apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And sure enough, there it was. She appeared in the 1980s to these children in Kibeho in Rwanda. And it was there that she said the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead. And it was just very interesting. It makes you think, and those are Vatican approved apparitions. We've been there because we've got a relation, kind of a tie to Rwanda, to the place of apparition, because we had this, 18-foot statue of the Divine Mercy that went to the shrine, is on the Hill of the God overlooking the shrine of Our Lady of Cabejo. But this, but it goes back to the point that if we're not centered in God, and that was a message, and that's been her message in all the, you know, we've got to return to God. And if we don't return to God, there are consequences, because God has to be our point of reference. And this is God who has shown himself in Jesus. So, you know, when we get back, because we are going into Holy Week, Sunday is Palm Sunday. Well, we'll just continue to talk about this. Because, again, I'm asking the question, you know, I guess it's the answer is quite obvious. The answer is the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus who is God in the flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity, three persons in one God. and that we keep the cross before us all the time, and we so that we can see beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection, to make some sense out of this, which is incomprehensible. What is incomprehensible? But we say the love of God and the mercy of God is incomprehensible, but such evil is incomprehensible, certainly for people who don't do such kind of evil. Now, we in our own personal lives, we can certainly be perpetrators of some kind of evil at various levels. But anyway, let's go away. Yeah. We'll stay here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll just keep talking about this. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaw Koska Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Our music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is Saturday evening, April 11th at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we prepare for a Holy Week with Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. I want to go back to the last Sunday where Jesus was asked, or the Greeks. It's just a very beautiful gospel. There's something very... Well, because the drama begins to unfold, mm-hmm. You know, the drama, the why of the incarnation that Jesus, God, took on our flesh, but to atone. And I think this is a thing I think that we've really failed to understand or try to comprehend, and that is, you know, that we needed to be redeemed, and we're still in need of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But redemption has come. It's just that do we have the humility to see and to be grateful, to have gratitude for what God has done, how God has visited the people, right. Our people, us, and has offered the ultimate sacrifice, offering Himself. The mm-hmm. priest that was a reading this morning, we might get to it, but whereby Jesus is the priest and the victim.
Mm-hmm.
He is the priest who offers a sacrifice. I mean, all that was prefigured in the sacrifices leading up to the ultimate sacrifice, so that he becomes the priest offering himself at the same hour. This will be a week from today, you know, that we'll observe and commemorate the suffering death of Jesus. So as Jesus is being, as he offers himself on the altar at the same hour, at the same time the lambs are being slaughtered in the temple, sacrificed, I should mm-hmm. say sacrificed, mm-hmm. but it is a slaughter, mm-hmm. sacrificed in the temple in atonement for sin. And Jesus is really bringing an end to all those sacrifices, which were a prelude, a preparation for a kind of topology in preparation for the messianic hour when God himself, God in the flesh, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Father so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. The light came into the darkness. People, though, rather chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Nonetheless, he offered himself as a way out of the darkness for all of us, out of the darkness of sin and the darkness of death. Even as we are in the journey, the kingdom has come, but it's not fully realized. But I guess the question is, do we put any real reflection into the sacrificial offering of Jesus offering himself in atonement for sin? But in the gospel on Sunday, last Sunday, when the Greeks came to Philip and they said, we'd like to see Jesus. And Philip went to Andrew, and they together went to Jesus, and Jesus says, the hour has come now for the Son of Man to be glorified. And he says, I'm troubled, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd there heard it, and they said it was thunder. But others said, no, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus says, no, he says, the voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. And now is the time of judgment on this world. And now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself, indicating the kind of death that he would die. So, I mean, this is, you know, for certainly for us as Christians, as Catholics, in a very specific way, as Catholics, because this is at the heart of our worship, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass that we keep always before us, this one and only sacrifice that has redeemed us and set us free from slavery to sin and death, as we're being constantly renewed, constantly being bathed in the blood of the Lamb, as we partake then in the banquet of the supper of the Lamb, the banquet of the Lamb, the wedding feast, you know. And this is it's a reality, but it's also a prelude to the banquet, the heavenly banquet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's, I hope this is theologically proper to say this, but it's almost as if our participation in the Eucharistic celebration is like going to the Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, which was a preparation for the resurrection, in a sense. Mm-hmm. That might be a little bit rough for me to say that, but because indeed what we receive in the Eucharist is the living Christ under the hidden guise of bread and wine. Again, what is this but food for the journey that we not collapse, that we not collapse, like, okay, in the against this atrocity that has happened in France right now. But again, there's something happening all the time, every time.
Oh, yes.
In people's personal lives, in the life of a family, in the life of a nation, a community. But this tragedy is just right in our face right now. And so that's why because we're stunned. I think we're stunned, we're shocked, we're saddened. And we're not even at the heart of it, you know?
No.
It's trying to, in some ways, trying to understand what must these family members be going through. And I think too, the how could somebody so beautiful, anybody, all those 155 people on that plane, so beautiful, so human, you know, with joys and sorrows and ups and downs and birth, they were born into this world. They had mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives, and they had their crosses, and they had their hopes and their dreams, and in an instant, you know, to be completely annihilated, it's just shocking.
My heart goes out to the captain, who was trying to get into the cockpit. He had a hatchet, and he was banging on the door with that. He was unable to do anything, but that had to be... He feels the plane going down. And he's chopping away, and nothing's happening. What a horrible thing.
I know, you can't even... You just can't wrap your head around that.
No, not at all.
But again, it begs the question, you know, how do we make any sense out of this? Make out any kind of sense out of what is nonsensical?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reality of evil.
Yeah. Yes.
The reality of the demonic, evil, darkness, choice. Mm-hmm.
Like you say so often, about we're in the domain of Satan, and people they make choices, but that's where. Again, we have to stay close to the Lord, and always people. You've mentioned before, it seems like evil is winning, but in the end, it's God's victory, and nothing in this world, whatever we do, there's consequences, and in the end, there will be judgment. It's not. There are no free rides.
No, there's not.
No free rides, and the sufferings of everyone. Earlier, you said that. And I thought this is key to unite our sufferings to those of Christ, because he suffered. God understands what we're all going through.
Sure. Something you said, you know, so God, okay, so in, this is the hope. This is consolation, maybe in a time when people cannot be consoled.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask yourself, you know, why? Well, we don't ask why, because we know why, mm-hmm. of course. But, you know, the candles are being lit and the, mm-hmm. the memorial's already been built. A headstone has been placed there at the foot of the mountain. So, again, intuitively, as a people, we have to hold on to that. Well, okay, so what would be one of the consolation in the midst of all this? Because certainly when it was discovered that this was deliberate, it was purposeful, mm-hmm. then it just, when they broke the news to the people, the family members, they said they were screaming
goodness.
And they were crying, and people react in different ways, but because it was just, it just added to, it's senseless.
Yes.
Didn't have to happen. But the consolation in what is inconsolable, mm-hmm. right now, because I say, if you're on the cross, and it is a cross that they're bearing, you know, the cry of Jesus, God who didn't spare himself, mm-hmm. anything, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have that? Where were you?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say that, but he's asking, where are you?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Right? But people are probably asking, how could God allow this to happen?
Sure.
And many will reject God, mm-hmm. based on what has happened. The consolation is precisely in the Paschal mystery,
mm-hmm.
that God has shown us. He didn't spare himself, but he has shown mm-hmm. us that death is not the end. So he's mm-hmm. taken the sting out of death, yeah. as the scripture says.
Right.
In other words, the consolation is that life goes on,
mm-hmm.
not just for the living, but for the dead.
Yes.
If we but have that faith and that ability to embrace the cross with Christ, so that he can bring us beyond that into the light and the glory of the resurrection. And see, this has been the I think this is the kind of a certain kind of denial on the part of a denial of reality, I should say,
mm-hmm.
in our own country and in much of the West,
yes.
in much of the West, and that is that, and within the hallowed halls of the Holy Church, you know, that for so long we seem to dismiss the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in many churches the crucifixes went down and the risen Christ went up, and yes, of course, you know, but we need, see, right now it seems to me that the consolation for me, that would be. And I think, and certainly for me, because you think down through the history of the whole, the history, down through history, the crucifix has been the most powerful symbol because God empathizes. God is an empathetic God. God is a God of compassion, which means what? But he suffers with.
Yes.
He didn't spare himself. So that, as I say so often, nobody can say, well, God just doesn't know. He doesn't understand. No, he walked the walk. And so the crucifix becomes the symbol of God's empathy, God's compassion, and our victory, because we see beyond the cross. So God can do only what God can do. If God is a giver of life, we've come from God. We've come from somewhere, right?
Yes.
I mean, the fact
yes.
that we're intelligent human beings, the fact that we've got a capacity for, we've got this creative energy. When you think of the beauty of music and the beauty of art. And by the way, you know, even too, in facing this reality, this tragedy, this atrocity, incomprehensible, because why? Because most, it doesn't, because it doesn't always happen. I mean, think of how it could happen.
Sure.
You know, every day, you know, you think of the... our lives, aside from the, all the stuff that's going to be written into the Easter story, the abandonment, rejection, denial, betrayal, the mutilation of the body, all this stuff, all these things, but even, again, that Jesus took our sin to himself. He became made himself the victim, the priest who offers himself the victim. But again, it begs the question, do we understand the need for this redemption, that somebody had to atone for our sins? Do we humbly recognize that we are sinful? And there are consequences, going back to the choices people make, because we remain a free people. And so we're made for God, by God, for God. And if we can recognize and embrace that truth, live under the dominion of God, then we make a beautiful and a worthy contribution to life and to harmony and to peace. We bring light into the darkness, but we're also a deeply wounded people.
But God is always there for us, and it's sometimes wrong choices can set us off on the wrong path. But there are other things, such as diseases, that come along. We didn't choose anything. Okay, you get cancer, you have a heart attack. Different things happen, but if basically you don't know how to hang on to God and to put all your attention on him, then everything goes kaput. Then nothing is worth anything.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want you to answer that question for me and for all of us, okay? How do you find God? How is it that you find God, I find God, or God has found me? Somehow it's a mutual, I think, where, you know, we're on the... But why is it that so many seemingly do not, or seemingly, not just seemingly, but in a very vocal way, will express their disbelief or their rejection of the very God you're speaking about? It's a question. So I want you to answer that when we get back, all right? Put you on the spot. Because I think people have to be asking all kinds of questions right now.
Right. And it's funny how they put the blame on God, and it's like, hello? The evil one is around. You know, he's very astute.
But again, the question is why? Because is it... anyway, think about that. Okay, what would you say? How would you answer that? Somebody says, well, why is it... I'm looking, but I don't find. I've rejected. I have disbelief because why? Well, look what's happened to me all my life. You know, people have experienced such atrocities from the time they were little children. You know, anyway, we'll be right back and we'll try to answer that question. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's Sanctuary
www.thedivinemercy.org and click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th, at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I want to ask the question. I want to throw it at you and let you. Okay, so I'm going to give you we'll just set it up here a little bit, okay, because I hear this. And, okay, so there, we can think about a lot of things, but a child is taught that God is love, God is love, and God is good. And the gospel says, Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open to you, right? Because what father would give to a child who's asking for an egg, give that child a scorpion, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the child hears this, perhaps. And of course, the priest is good. He's like God. He's supposed to be Christ, you know, for us and all that. And our parents are like our gods, you know, we have to obey our parents because they're, mm-hmm. they love, you know, all this. Okay, yeah. So you get it. Now, things go really, really wrong in the life of that child. The parents are constantly battling one to another. Maybe there's addictions, mm-hmm. alcoholism, maybe drug abuse, divorce, separation, maybe there's sexual abuse, psychological, mm-hmm. whatever. And the child, you know, okay, God is good. And ask and you shall receive. And so the child is praying, begging God, good God, you know, bring my mother and father back together. Make my father free from the alcohol, whatever it might be. And the prayer isn't answered. The prayer's not answered. The parents are divorced. The family's all separated. Maybe the mother's got multiple partners or the father's got multiple partners. So now there's, you know, half brothers, half sisters. And I know families where the children are split up, you know, one family, three mm-hmm. children, and the child goes to, you know, what is, so just use mm-hmm. that as an example, mm-hmm. okay? Or the fact that, you know, God took my father away. He died mm-hmm. in the war or he died on the plane, whatever. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to somebody like that? Now they're 25, they're 35, maybe they're 40 years old, maybe they're 60 years old, and they can't seem to grasp or reconcile with the evil that was done to them, inflicted upon them when they were just a child and the innocence, what should have been a time of a great innocence and joy for them in preparation for their life journey. What would you say?
Well, part of the problem, when I grew up, I did not have alcoholic parents. There was no abuse. You know, you get into it, things were okay. And yet, as I went through life, through my choices, through some of the things I did, I became disenchanted with God, with people who talked about good things. I didn't believe them. And God is there. It's a case of keep at it. You got to keep at it. Don't just give up. And like I say, I did not have any terrible things happen to me as a child. But I can make things worse than they have to be by the way I live my life. And when I would ask God for help, I would keep after it. I kept messing up, getting goofy, and doing things I shouldn't have been doing. But he never left me. He never abandoned me, nor did my family. It was good. It's not like everything was wonderful.
But you found that, but you only came to that realization later, right? And
oh,
then you
yes.
could look back and you could see that God had always been there.
But because I was continuing to make mistakes, commit sins, and he was there all along. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it, but I kept.
But how did you come to know that? Maybe that's the question. I don't know.
Things got better.
Yeah,
things got better.
I mean, there are not any easy answers.
No, there are not.
This is the difficulty of life, you know.
Even when somebody prays to God and they ask him for whatever they want, what they desire, God's not going to answer how he doesn't think how we think, or he knows what's best for us. And he will answer us. We might not see it, maybe many times.
A child doesn't know that.
A child's not going to know. They're not going to see it. And even if you kind of meditate through your life experiences and you think, well, yeah, bad stuff happened. You can't control anyone. I can't control myself sometimes. But think about all the other good things. I mean, the good always outweighs the bad. All the blessings. We were just talking with somebody on the phone. I don't remember who it was. And we were talking about how people complain and we go to church, it's boring, and the services are long. And it's like, well, how much time do we spend on frivolous stuff, on anything else, and we don't complain?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to God, oh, this is a chore. For everything that he's given us, all even in our deepest, our most dark moments, like Jerry said, he's there. And he doesn't abandon us. It's just that sometimes we're so caught into our own darkness that we don't see the light.
Sure.
But he is there. And he's not going to answer the way, again, Father knows best. He knows what we need, our own needs, and he will give us the grace.
And we have to respond to that.
Yes.
And if we don't, then we can say, I was right all along.
Mm-hmm.
Say,
mm-hmm.
God doesn't help me.
Yeah.
But it requires a change. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes.
It's moments like this where I think people, they start thinking that way. Oh, you know, there's no God. Oh, I'm angry with God. And I got to admit, there's many times that I kind of can understand that. But what I've learned to understand is, and this is so perfect, and you've said it so many times, and this is the key. God gave us his only son to die for our sins. So the world is, as much as people want to get the best things out of life and the happy things and happy, you know, live in this happy world, this is not a happy place.
Right, that's right.
This is not there's things, forces. And that's, as you were talking, Christina, earlier, I was thinking, it's kind of funny how we can go through life. And I listen to this on some of these shows, how they mock God, mock the Pope, mock all that is good. But have you noticed, and I remember this even as a young child, I was never a horror type of person, but all the movies, and now that I think about it, they're probably back then tame compared to some of the things that we have here now.
Yes.
And I mean, the devil is alive.
Sure.
I mean, alive and well. And I think that's that balance. When you think of, I think about stories I've read and things that I'm interested in is that struggle between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
There is a genuine, and this is not, like you may say, has it always been this way? Yes, it has been always this way, that struggle between good and evil. And I think now, believe it or not, as much as I want to be hopeful, evil's winning.
Well, evil, it's not winning, but it's on the increase.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you see it. And for people to not be able to wake up, this isn't a matter of, you know, what I believe or what I don't believe. Although, because I have faith, I take everything from my faith. And there are many that don't understand that. But just, let's say on the whim that I'm wrong. Let's say there is no God. But look around you. How can you say that? Mm-hmm. Even when you take a tragedy like this, I mean, sure, there's people are going to start saying, oh, we should do more for mental health, or we should do more for. But it basically comes down to choices. That man made a choice. And like many people today, we live for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't care about others. What can I get? How much can I make? Where am I at? When I think of when I was younger, I never thought of the devil as anything. I just didn't believe it. It wasn't real. But to think how a whisper, you can be whispering something into somebody's ear, mm-hmm. and by your selfish actions, you take everybody's mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, it's
that's what it is.
And the devil, people forget, first they don't want God in the picture, and mm-hmm. then when something happens, they bring him back in the picture. And the devil's very astute, because then they want to, you know, go ahead, Father.
No. We're just about at the end there. But it's all, this is, again, we, you know, it's how do you wrap yourself mm-hmm. around this? Well, I mm-hmm. think you got to wrap yourself around the cross.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think this is, I don't think this is, mm-hmm. Our salvation. And I think of and this is where we, as members of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, those who, we who have been given the gift of faith, you know, even if it's but the size of a mustard seed, because God wants to lose no one. But we have to reflect for others compassion and empathy mm-hmm. and mercy and God's love. Because if we don't, then it just feeds the narrative that God doesn't care, because mm-hmm. we're to be that sacrament that mediates that grace. Finally, I think of a woman who went to a place of the apparitions, and she had so much pain and so much garbage, and really the very thing I'm talking about didn't, you know, God, but she went, and it just out of the clear blue, there because she was probably somehow mysteriously disposed by the grace of God, and she described it as having this something thrust into her, like, let's say, the lance,
yes.
and that all the garbage of her life just mm-hmm. began to flow out.
Oh.
It just began, and it was just the tears and the healing that this encounter with God. And so I think in the opportune time, you know, mm-hmm. it is a mystery, mm-hmm. and it's but the victory is ours. It's evil is on the increase. There's no doubt about it. It's on the increase. There's such good and so many good people. But until we turn to God, we have to say, Lord, you know, let me be that instrument of your mercy, your compassion, your love. And this is where we falter, and this is where we have to go on our knees before the Lord and say, you know, you gotta do something about this, me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll pick up on this on Monday. You know, this because it is a fact, and it really it's everything. It's all about what we're prepared to celebrate in a couple of days here. So. Everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a very blessed weekend, a blessed Holy Week. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.